the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to read a few verses there, and I'm going to make you work a little this morning in a short time, but when I see people in Mongolia and China and Korea and Taiwan and Japan and the Philippines and Guam and Saipan and across those islands, when I see people, that gets my attention. Have you ever thought what gets the attention of Christ? Look in chapter 8, Gospel of Matthew, verse 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And you might think, how could he sleep in a storm, in a little ship, the waves high? He was so tired. He had been ministering, giving of himself. When you get that tired, you can sleep anywhere. Jesus was asleep in the middle of a storm. And his disciples, verse 25, came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Let me show you something that gets the attention of Jesus. Fear gets the attention of Christ. The storm did not awaken him, but the fear of the disciples did. Some of you hear a great message like we just heard, and some of you think about giving your heart and your life to Christ to serve him somewhere across the world, but you hesitate because you're afraid of where he might send you or what might happen to you. Can I assure you that when you are afraid, that gets his attention? And every one of us have faced times like that. It might be when the doctor says, I'm sorry to tell you that you have cancer. It might be when you arrive in that new mission field and you can't speak one word of their language, you don't understand their culture, and you embarrass yourself. It might be when those snakes start crawling in the house. They're really good fried, just look at it that way. Linda and I lived for several years down in the middle of the jungle in the Congo, and we had not been there many days till I'd stuff plastic in the crack of the wall, and we heard a noise coming through the plastic, and I got up and got my flashlight and my machete and went on her side of the bed. She said, honey, what is it? I said, you really don't want to know. There was a black mama coming up the wall on her side of the bed. But I want you to notice that in this passage, when you're afraid, that gets his attention, and the final conclusion of it is, when you see how much he cares for you, you say, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm coming back to Matthew 8 in just a moment, but I want you to notice this message actually came from this passage. John chapter 20, there are two stories here, verse 10 through 18. I'll not read the verses, but in chapter 20, in verses 10 through 18 of John, you have this woman, Mary Magdalene, who's coming to the garden because her Savior's been crucified. He had cast demons from her. He'd saved her. She was his disciple. She followed him. She thought that he was going to be the Savior of the world, and he is, but she wasn't quite sure at this point because she had seen him nailed on a cross, his blood poured out, body taken off of the cross and put in a grave, and she's coming into the garden this day weeping, crying her heart out, crying so hard she didn't even realize it was Jesus. And Jesus simply spoke one word to her. He said, Mary. And Jesus had a way of turning her fear into joy. Rabboni, that's to say, my master. See, when you're afraid, that gets his attention. Chapter 20, verse 19, these thoughts came from this verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And I read this passage and I thought, this was a Sunday night service I would not wish to attend. Now, I love being at Lancaster Baptist Church. This is a fun place. I mean, God works here. You see people saved. You see hearts change. You see lives transformed. That's exciting. I like to go to church. Here was a church service. They went into church on Sunday night, locked the doors because they were afraid. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a service like that or not. There are places in China that's the case. Been in a few Chinese churches when they sing, They will say, let's open our hymn books to page number so-and-so, and they open their hymn books, and they sing silently. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Because if they sing out, the neighbors will hear and the police will show up. And I don't know if you've ever been in a service like that. Maybe you haven't. I hope that you never have to, but here's the wonderful thing. When you are afraid, He has a way of turning your fear into peace. And wherever He wants to send you, He'll give you everything you need to overcome that fear. Let me show you something else that gets His attention. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. This time to the first part of the chapter. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him. Centurion, Roman soldier. This man wasn't from the nation of Israel. He was not a Jewish man. And he came to Jesus, verse 6, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I'm not going to read the rest of the verses. This man said to Jesus, Lord, I'm a military man. I'm a centurion. When I read it, I thought he must have been a Marine because he said, I tell someone go, they go. And I tell others come and they come. And he said, Lord, you don't even have to come to my house. Lord, all you have to do is say the word and my servant's going to be healed. You know what Jesus noticed about that? Look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Fear gets His attention. When you're afraid, He notices. But I tell you, when another time He notices, that's when you have faith in Him. And here was a man, an outsider, a foreigner, a gaijin, a tubab in synagogue. Here was a person not of his country, and Jesus said, I want you to notice, I've not found faith like this even in Israel. Turn over a few pages further, Matthew chapter 15. Here's another story. This time it's a woman, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. You know the story. Her daughter was vexed with the devil, and Jesus didn't say anything. Disciples tried to send her away. Verse 25 says, Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Jesus noticed her faith. This week is Faith Promise Missions Conference. And everyone here, all of us are going to be making a decision about how much faith are we going to exercise in Him, what we can give to help these missionaries go and others stay on their fields. When we exercise faith, that gets His attention. Let me tell you one other story. I'll not read the portion, but in Mark chapter 12, it doesn't use the word faith there. But it's the story of Jesus sitting over against the treasury watching people put in their offerings. Now, I find this to be a hilarious thought. Can you imagine offering at Lancaster Baptist Church? And Dr. Chappell walks right off the platform down the steps and follows the ushers back up and down the aisles watching. And what you going to put in today? Jesus is sitting in the temple over against the treasury watching people put their offerings in. And you know the story. And the widow lady came and she just had two mites, all she had. And she gave it. And Jesus noticed that, and He did not say in that passage, He did not use the word faith, but I want you to know that lady had faith. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened the next day, but I can promise you this, she did not go home and starve. I think she might have had steak. Because see, when you can believe Him, rely upon Him, trust Him completely. You can go anywhere in the world, into any danger, into any other culture, and lie down at night and go to sleep and rest and have the peace of God in your heart. Because when you rely upon Him, He will do everything necessary to help you and to bless you. Spurgeon said it this way, faith is reason at rest in God. And I like that. Fear gets his attention. Faith gets his attention. But let me show you one more thing. Something that we see over and over again in the scripture that get his attention. The fields of the world get his attention. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Have you ever noticed as you read through the Gospels that when you see Jesus, he's seeing people? And it seems like almost every time he looks up, there's the multitude and he's moved. And he saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I can almost hear him as he comes to Jerusalem, Matthew 23, verse 37, when he's pleading with them and calling out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now, some of you haven't had the privilege of growing up on the farm. I feel sorry for you. How many of you have ever been flogged by a chicken? Some of you don't even know what that is, but if you ever try to take a chick out from under a chicken, you'll find out. When I read that portion, can't you just see Jesus saying, I wanted to get all of you. I just wanted to gather Jerusalem. You've seen my miracles. You've heard my messages. I just wanted to get all of you under my wings and protect you. And Jesus is just concerned today about those people in China and Japan and the Philippines and Brazil and Belize and England and France and the islands of the Pacific and the Atlantic. He wants to reach all of them. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, here's what it says. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And when's the last time you wept over Lancaster? Palmdale. I tell you, when I go to Tokyo, I weep. Not since we go to Kansai, it's easy to weep when you see all those people. John chapter 4, Jesus had just won the Samaritan woman to the Lord, and the disciples come back, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Now I want you to notice, I'm almost finished. When you see Jesus, he's seeing people. And when he saw people, it made him sigh. I wanted to save all of you. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, do you feel my love? Do you see my compassion? It made him sigh. More than that, when Jesus saw the city, it made him cry. Now, I love to have a good time. I enjoy having fun with people. But there are many times when we cry because we realize their countries of the world, their huge cities, and their islands and their villages where no one is working to share Christ with them. When he saw the world, it made him cry. But more than that, when Jesus saw the world, it made him die. The greatest missionary who ever lived was not the Apostle Paul. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he left heaven's glory. We can't even imagine what that meant. He left heaven's glory and came to this earth, sent by the Father to save us. And he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Now, if that gets the attention of Jesus, don't you think that ought to get our attention also? William C. Burns, it's not a name as well known in mission circles as it should be, and maybe some other names. He was a missionary to China. God used William C. Burns to influence two other great people, Hudson Taylor and Robert Murray McShane. But when William Burns was a 17-year-old lad, his mother had taken him to Glasgow, Scotland, and they were visiting some folk there. And one day, an afternoon, Mrs. Burns started looking for her son William, and she couldn't find him. So she started walking the streets in Glasgow, and finally, she saw him sitting in a small street, a little alleyway, sitting on the doorstep. Now, I want you to think about this. A 17-year-old boy. It bothers me today that some people think that young people can't have a heart to serve God. I don't believe that. I think that 16-year-old girls and 17-year-old boys and teenagers and college students can have a heart to love and serve God. And Mrs. Burns sees her son sitting on a doorstep in a little alleyway, with his face over in his hands, crying his heart out. And she walks up to him and she said, "Son, what ails you?" The 17-year-old boy, here's what he said. "Mother, mother, the thud of these Christless feet on their way to hell breaks my heart." And I wonder this morning, if that breaks the heart of Christ, don't you think it ought to break our heart? The thud of Christless feet on their way to hell.